Christmas, church.
Merry Christmas.
Good to see you out and be here in worship of our Lord. So somewhere in America today, there are 3 to 4 kids under the age of 18 who will one day be president of the United States. I mean, that's kind of a cool fact. But probably that won't change anybody's travel plans today. I mean, even if you knew one of those kids, you were for certain that this child was going to be president, would you travel, I don't know, say 90 miles out of your way to visit him or her? Probably not. So why would these magi travel 900 miles just one way and out of their way to visit this baby king? Because the Jewish nation wasn't anything in the first century, nothing to speak of, no great prospects on the horizon. These magi, as well, they hadn't shown up for Herod, and he was declared king, or for the birth of any of his sons. Why now for this particular king? Well, it's because this king, Jesus, was the longing of their hearts. Indeed, Jesus is the deepest longing of all our hearts. Consider the magi driven by their deepest longing to find Jesus. And that deepest longing is love itself. Verse 2 states, we have come to worship him. And worship is the ultimate expression of our love. We worship what we love. And what we worship, we hope, will love us in return. You know, this word worship means literally kiss the feet. Kiss the feet. Kissing is a form of greeting in most cultures. You know, when we give hugs here, but occasionally we'll give a kiss. And certainly in Jesus' time, ancient cultures, an equal kissing an equal, and we kiss each other on the cheeks. But if you are an inferior meeting a superior, then it was on your knees. It was head on the ground. It was at the feet in an act of adoration. Well, this is what the Magi do when they see Jesus. Verse 11, they fell down and worshiped him. They bowed to kiss the feet of Jesus, pouring out their love for him. Now, perhaps the Magi had kissed the feet of many kings. What drives them to interrupt their lives for 6 to 7 months and travel 900 miles one way to find this child and pour out the affections of their hearts at his feet? Well, it's because God had revealed to them something of who this child really was and is. The Magi were from the east, Persia, Babylon. They were not kings, as the carol puts it. We 3 kings. We only know there were 3. There may have been more. But they're not kings, but they were those who served in the court of kings. They were astrologers. They studied the stars, and they felt like the planets and stars determined events on the earth. And so they were counselors to kings. They were also the scholars of the day. They had access to all the writings that the Babylonians and the Persians had garnered in their conquests. No doubt these magi were very familiar with Jewish writings. Think of Daniel and all the exiles in Babylon. They would have brought with them their writings. These would have been confiscated as well. And so these magi would have been familiar with the Jewish scriptures, especially ones dealing with a great Savior king to come that were linked to astrological things. The astrological prophecies, like Numbers 24:17. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter rise out of Israel. Or Isaiah 60. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. They shall bring gold and frankincense and the praises of the Lord. To understand the Magi, and I think really what is going on in them, what's stirring in them, we need to understand something of the feel of the first century. For hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, there had been this strong sense throughout the world that things were not right. That sense hasn't really gone away, has it? But in that day, there was this sense that the world was broken, it's off kilter, it's out of order. And many cultures, many ancient cultures, had story upon story of this coming golden age with the advent of someone who would bridge heaven and earth, put things right, bringing salvation to the world. Well, in time, human kings, like Caesar Augustus, started claiming to be that one that the world was looking for. But what the Magi had to understand was, no, they're all failures. No human king has brought what we are really longing for. When they saw the star, a new light in the western sky toward Jerusalem, a light that had not been there before, it was not on their star charts. No doubt they started reading in the Jewish scriptures even more about this coming king. The stars appeared. What more can we learn? And perhaps they learned of the promises of how his kingdom would never end. Promises that he would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That his kingdom and of peace there would be no end. He would redeem his people, shepherd his people, heal his people, love his people by forgiving their iniquity and remembering their sin no more. The scriptures speak to the heart of the issue, to the heart of what these Magi understood. This is the problem with us and with the world. We need a Savior King. A King who loves us. And I think what the Magi would have been most intrigued about was that this coming King was for them as well. He would be a light for the nations to open the eyes that are blind. In him will the nations hope. When the Magi saw the star, they began putting it together. He's here. He's come. The hope and longing of our hearts. And so with love, they set out to find him and to worship him. Well, this is who has come to our world. This is why we celebrate at Christmas. Jesus is the one. He's the desire of the nations, the hope of the world and of our hearts, who satisfies the deepest longing of our hearts for life and for love. A friend sent me a picture of a car he recently saw. And on the front, it reads, "If you ever wonder who loves you, who cares about you, who's got your back when things get rough, who would do anything in the world for you, who's there for you no matter when, no matter what, just remember," and you open the car, "We all wonder those things sometimes. Happy birthday." Well, the card is touching on the deepest longing of your heart and mine for love. And how evasive this thing of love is in our world today. And that's why we send cards like this and we laugh at this. Because who has really found Christmas is declaring this, it's here, because he is here. Jesus Christ is the one who loves us, cares about us, has our back when things are rough, will do anything like die for us. And he was there for us no matter when, no matter what. And at some level, these Magi got it and they responded. They came to this one of great love and they loved him and worshiped him. And notice secondly that the love of the Magi. It's interesting that they do what nobody else in the Christmas narratives do. Not Joseph, Mary, or the shepherds. They fall before Jesus and worship him. They followed the star. It led them first to Jerusalem. And Magi in Jerusalem, well, that made quite a splash. I think it was Time magazine that wrote a few years back that this would be like a group of Iranian Ayatollahs showing up in Nebraska. They just didn't fit. Verse 3 tells us that Herod was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. These Magi, very interesting, they're the first They ask the first human question in the New Testament. The first human question. Where is he? Remember what God's first question was in the Old Testament? Genesis 3. God comes into the garden in search of Adam, and what does he ask?
Where are you?
God came looking for man. Where are you? Now man comes looking for God. Where is he? Where is he who was born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Know how that rankled Herod, because they weren't there for Herod. Herod was a back road. In their minds, Jesus was the highway. And when they finally see Jesus there in Bethlehem, and by the way, this wasn't in a Bethlehem manger that first Christmas night. The Magi are arriving probably a year, 18 months, maybe 2 years after Jesus was born. We read that Mary and Joseph are now in a house, verse 11. But when they see him, they love him, they worship him with their treasures, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they give these gifts freely. I mean, don't you love how this silences the cynics? They didn't give because they had to. There was no God tax on this visit. And they didn't give to get anything in return. There were no miracles or promises from Jesus. Most likely, while they were adoring him, he was drooling and crawling around on the floor. Maybe he was playing in the boxes that the gifts came in. But in giving gold and frankincense and myrrh, costly gifts, these magi were saying so clearly, Jesus, you are our treasure, not these things we have. We hold our earthly treasures lightly in your presence. Well, here's one way to know if we have the Christmas spirit, the spirit of wholehearted devotion to Christ, that our possessions do not possess us. There's an open-handedness with them, and we freely give as an expression of our love for Jesus Christ. He is the treasure. But their love moved them beyond the giving of treasure. It moved them to surrender to Jesus. That they fell before Jesus and worshiped him. Again, to worship, to kiss the feet, that's an action of an inferior toward a superior. It's an act of surrender, an act of allegiance to a great one. I love the painting of the Adoration of the Magi by Fabriano. This was painted, painted in 1423, richly ornamented. It shows three magi moving in surrender toward Christ. In the first magi, he's already removed his crown. It's down there to his left. You see it on the ground. And he's on his knees kissing the feet of Jesus. The second magi has his hand on his crown, about to remove it, and is bending. He's beginning his descent to his knees before Jesus. The third magi, the festive one, wearing red leggings. Maybe he got those for Christmas, I don't know. But look at his feet. Where his feet are, there's a servant around back behind him, and he's removing the magi's spurs. And I suppose you can really hurt yourself kneeling with spurs on. But in Roman times and in Middle Ages, spurs were worn only by royalty and men of high rank. Spurs symbolized your authority, your power, your position over others. Well, this magi, like the others, is stripping himself of the symbols of his authority and position and is moving toward the feet of Jesus in surrender, the surrender of worship. In what ways might you strip away your rights to your authority, your power, your position, and bow before Jesus this Christmas? Perhaps your act of surrender and devotion is literally to get on your knees. But certainly it's to bow the heart in loving adoration and the surrender of your will. Maybe it's the surrendering of the outcomes to Jesus. And you trust him. My times are in your hands. I will trust you in that, Jesus. Jesus is the King of the ages. The longing of our hearts, he is the one, and he alone satisfies that deepest longing for love. He both receives our love, but he loves us. These magi have come to Jesus. They love him because they know something of his love for them. They know that they need him. Their worship really is a response to the grace of God. See, there's something else that Matthew wants to drive home about the Magi here. Three times Matthew has mentioned the East. They are from the East, or sometimes it's the translation place of rising, but it's the East. Well, what is East in the geography of Scripture? East is the place of banishment. Adam and Eve were banished east of Eden. When Cain killed Abel, he became a wanderer east of Eden. Judah was exiled east of Israel in Babylon. East is the land of darkness beyond the Jordan. It is Galilee of the Gentiles. And when the Magi come to Christ, they know full well they are east men. So why did they come? How did they know they'd be accepted? Because the Magi would not have been invited to any Jewish birthday party. They were unclean Gentiles. They were East men. But God calls them to Jesus' party. And they know Jesus is for them. Why? Because they believed the scriptures that God was bringing back the nations. That East man, banished man, was now welcome. Guilty man was now forgiven man. Rejected man was now divinely loved. And accepted man, accepted through this King, Jesus Christ. At some level, the Magi got it. That Jesus is for the Magi. He's for us. Which means he is also for you and me. Whatever place of banishment you may feel yourself to be in today. Level of brokenness or darkness. Living east of Eden, so to speak. Our light has come. It is Jesus Christ. And he rises upon us to bring us life and light, that we may know the living God and walk free in his presence. Because this King is going to take away our sin. This King is going to give us life forever. My brothers and sisters in Christ, with the Magi, come and let us adore him and fall at his feet in love and surrender. Christ our Lord, our Savior King, he is the gift of God to us. And he is our peace. He is our joy. He is the love of every longing heart. Merry Christmas.
Amen. Merry Christmas.